Rajay is not going to be able to join today. Right, so Sajid, let's get started on updates. So I tried to remember we talked about that in order to there was some inaccuracy in the model, and also because of the observed result is quite lower than the results we collected in the training environment. So in order to overcome that, so what I tried is that first, instead of using the actual result, I use a predicted result to calculate the gain and loss and all those for the algorithms. So I tried that, it worked in cases. So what I noticed in that there are some variabilities in the results we are obtaining. So let's say at one time I'm collecting, even with the same infrastructure and everything, I'm seeing that the results are quite different a little bit. Not by much, but there are always differences in the observed results.
With the same set of competing workloads, and with the same amount of resources provisioned.
Same provision resources. There are like 10%, 5 to 10% variations.
I see. That's interesting.
So what happened in that case is that I ran the algorithm with using the predicted output instead of the original output. So I saw that it worked actually fine. The algorithm, whatever they suggested on a set of workloads, it makes sense. So it's depending on the my revenue function, it makes a allocation which makes sense. So using the suggested allocation, I ran the workloads again for 5 to 10 minutes and collected the sample data. So what I did is that to check the variability, I ran this several times, at least a couple of times. So I ran the same workload, the same setting with the. So in one setting, I saw that there is no improvement of collective revenue. In another setting, I saw that there is okay, there's 6% increment in revenue after doing the suggested allocation.
I see. And this is just one iteration or several iterations of the algorithm?
What do you mean several iterations?
Meaning that, I mean, you make one change, you observe again, and you calculate a new revenue. You keep going several times like that, or you just stop after the first change?
No, I'm just checking after the first one. I mean, it should point to the forward direction.
Okay. So what you're saying is that in terms of one step, the algorithm seems to be, one iteration, the algorithm seems to be doing what it is supposed to do for two settings, right? But that's not an exhaustive test. I mean, there's no way we can do an exhaustive test here, right?
No.
But at least for a couple of tests that you ran, it seemed to be okay. At least it didn't violate our expectations.
No.
Okay.
It's not going worse, for definitely. It's either positive or zero.
Okay. And zero because you somehow magically picked the best allocation to begin with, or?
Not really. What happened, that's exactly I'm talking about the system variability. So what happened, like, for some workloads, is there is huge difference between even on the same setting and all the other factors remaining constant, there are variations in the performance data.
Okay. So, what you're trying to say is that if even if we make small changes because of the variability, we don't see any improvement or
No, we see improvement, but we see 6% improvement, but in I'm saying like but it's not necessarily has to be the same increment. So it could be no increment even with the same set of allocations, or even could be different increment.
So in our algorithm, do we stop when there is no increment in revenue
Yes,
or
yes.
there is negative increment in revenue?
We stop when there is no increment in revenue.
No increment in the observed revenue or no increment in the predicted revenue.
In the algorithm itself, in the predicted. But in the actual case, it's observed.
Okay, and so in your case, when you say there is zero revenue increase, was that predicted or
no,
observed?
No, that's observed.
That's observed.
Mm-hmm.
What about the predicted? Was it making an improvement?
Predicted always makes an improvement.
Well, at some point it won't, right? Because at some point it will reach an optimal point, and beyond that it cannot. Even the predicted improvements may be zero or even negative.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have infinite revenue, just basically.
Yeah.
So what do we do? I mean, let's say that this is one approach that it seems you're suggesting it may work.
Mm-hmm.
But what should we do if we, let's say, the predicted model or the prediction says that you should see an increase in revenue, but in the observed, we don't see that. So what should we do? Should we keep going and do more iterations, or should we stop? What is
I
your
think
sense
we should,
there?
We should do at least a couple of iterations. Because that's exactly what I'm mentioning, because there is a variability in the system.
Right. Okay.
Why is there a variability in the system? I don't get asked why. What makes the
thing is that even let's say, because I cannot control the storage, so let's say all the allocations are same to all the, I'm running the 10 VMs, all the allocations are same, they're doing the exactly identical workloads, but I'm taking the results after 10 minutes. So let's say after 10 minutes you collect certain results. So and I ran it another time, I collected the results after 10 minutes. So these two results across some VMs can be very different.
And how much difference are you talking about?
I mean, usually it's around 10 to 20%, but if the allocation is really low, on the lower range, for some VMs, the variability could be even 100%.
Mm-hmm. So with the same resources being allocated, you could see that.
Yeah.
And without any change to any of the other VMs.
Yes.
Yeah, I can believe that because at very low resource allocations, any small change would appear to be a large percentage change.
Yeah.
And we've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So maybe one of the things that we should do is to say there is a lower bound on the amount of resources we would allocate to any application.
I already said that, but I think sometimes it's not enough. Maybe I need to increase the threshold even further.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm saying that like maybe either 200 megahertz or 256 megabytes of memory.
Okay.
But in the zone where you're getting like a 10 to 20% of variability, can we improve the revenue?
Yes, we can. Yes.
And how much is the improvement?
It's around 5 to 6%.
5 to 6% improvement on the revenue.
Yeah, on a next iteration. Remember, it's not. I'm talking about that. It's a final iteration. It's just on the next iteration we see a 5% increment of the collective revenue.
So what I'm trying to say is that if you stay within the 10 to 20% zone, if I understand correctly, you're saying that in some zone it is 10 to 20% variability, and in some other zone, in the lower zone, probably the variability is like in the range of 100%.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that if you just assume that your allocation stays within the 10 to 20% zone, at the end, how much after running all the full iterations of the algorithms earlier, how much is it? Improvement you can make on the total revenue. Is it in the range of like a 50%, 60%, 20%? What range? Do you have any data on that?
Well, I have run only after a couple of iterations. I haven't gone to the end to see how much is the variability from where we start. So if we talk about like from our starting arrangement to the final arrangement, it could be a lot higher. But just within a couple of iterations, it's around 6 to 10%.
Okay, so Sajid, what is your current roadblock? I mean, that is, do you think we'll understand more if you run through the entire algorithm, as many iterations as necessary, do you think we'll have a better global picture of what are the more important concerns here?
Yeah, we can understand, but I think I have already understood some of the problems.
Okay.
Since we are talking about the collective revenue, so let's say, because some VM will be sacrificed and some VM will be benefited. So few of the VMs are like, because of the SLA curve, it will sacrifice more than the rest of the others, because the rest of those maybe were more uniform. But
you
some
mean
of the
sacrifice performance.
Sacrifice performance. Or like, oh, so their allocation from the starting to the end have been heavily dropped.
Okay.
So what happened is that since we're talking about collective revenue, so those VMs which have like little resources, those can be a problematic, because they're observed when you run the experiment again, so the observed result could be really low, and that would change the total revenue. So for all the other VMs are performing as expected, but some VMs like they are performing really low, and that could affect our total revenue model.
Yeah, but what I was trying to get into in my previous discussion was, with the, even if you can predict or even if you can't do a 100% accurate way of doing it, assuming there are some errors and etc., if you proceed the whole lead, and if you achieve, say, for example, today in some allocation you're achieving X amount of revenue, and so after running all the full iteration, you achieve like a 3x revenue total early, or 1.5x early. That may not be optimal. That may not be that, because your accuracy, etc., probably would have gone up to 2x, but you, because of your approximation, you're going up to 1.5x. But even then, that's an improvement. That's the way I was thinking about.
Okay, so.
So with the existing approximation and etc. And the error, if you run it completely, then how what percentage of the gain in revenue you're getting total? It becomes difficult to comment anything.
Well, I haven't run the complete runs because I'm checking like if the system is working fine. So I'm working on very few iterations to see if everything is working under control.
Right, so that's what is leading me to my earlier question, which is, what is the roadblock that you're facing, and
exactly
the current roadblock that you're facing, and is it significant enough for you to just focus on that roadblock versus, let's say, identifying a bigger roadblock by doing the whole sequence of the algorithm? It's not clear to me that if you have a sense for going one way or the other, but it seems like you at least stopped after two iterations and seem like you're investigating more deeper into the concerns that come up even with a single iteration.
Yes.
Because I'm assuming that you feel they are very significant concerns.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and your concern is that at lower, if I understand correctly, at low resource allocations, there is a lot of variability in performance, in observed performance, whereas the model has a very nice single value prediction, right?
Yes.
And you observe things, there is a lot of variability that you see. But if you meet some minimum resource allocation, then the observed performance stabilizes much better, right? So the variability goes down. So could we build our SLA curve, or even our performance model, and this would require changing the performance model, perhaps along the lines that Ajay is talking about, right? And that model, the input to the model now becomes confusing because you have variability in observed performance, right? So for the same resources, now you have several numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if you fit all of that into this SVN model? And does the SVN model still give you a single point prediction for the same resources where you now input like a whole bunch of observed values?
To my experience, it tries to find a middle ground. If you throw a lot of points, it tries to find the average or the median kind of thing. Like if you
can you query like the confidence of the SVN model in terms of that prediction?
I'm not sure.
Because if you can, then you can perhaps roll that the model becomes richer. It's not just a single point, single value prediction, but also confidence. Then you can combine such a performance model with a revenue model. To say that, okay, if the confidence is low, then you're going to assume worst case performance of something and then map that into a revenue model, right? And that what that would achieve in effect is disallowing those lower resource allocation values, right? Because our revenue models will say, okay, I'm actually getting really bad revenue. Because in the worst case, with the variability built into the model, I'm going to see bad performance and consequently bad revenue. So maybe we could deal with it that way, but that would require for us to be able to get confidence values of predictions from the SVN model.
No, I haven't used confidence model, I don't know. How can I obtain it?
I don't know anything about it.
In ANN, the model I'm using, currently I'm using ANN for this experiment. So I haven't seen any confidence value they can predict.
I don't think so.
So they just give you like a single value prediction with no sense for how bad it could be.
The confidence, they have really some data to calculate the confidence. So
all the training data, right? I mean, if we feed the model with a whole bunch of conflicting data, it should be able to come up with some confidence value. Right? Because that's what is our current problem. So our current problem is that our observed values are in a huge range.
Is the variability only? What are you seeing on the low resource allocation?
Yeah, that's correct.
How low?
It's like 272 megabytes or 300 megahertz CPU.
Is that low for any VM or just a VM that you're observing performance for? I mean,
I'm observing performance for all the VMs.
Okay.
I think we have systems. Did you think the problem is the
storage? No, actually, I also checked the latency. The latency remained a constant in two cases, almost the same. But still, there is very little.
I think the caching itself can make a big difference, right? And there are some papers which point like cache contention can degrade performance as much as 70%. If you have the wrong sort of
contention. Is the pattern different? Do you run different pair of washing machines?
No,
it's all the same. But I think it also depends maybe on cache warm up.
But if the experiment takes like 10 minutes, this is not enough to absorb that effect.
Yeah, and I'm not collecting the first few minutes. I'm only collecting the last 5 minutes because of that performance variability. Because I already noticed that in the beginning it's hugely variable.
Yeah, I think caching is a dynamic system, right? And there might be different steady states that you would reach depending on how you start. I mean, in terms of the warming up of the cache, it's all speculation, but that's, at this point, that's the best. Yeah. So what I was thinking is that let's say you start these workloads at different times, like slightly different times, or they get scheduled on the CPU in a slightly different way. The way the cache gets utilized is also starts deviating. And then even with the same set of high-level workloads running, we might reach different steady states, depending on how you start and how you execute and warm up the cache. That would be one explanation that I can think of. But that means that this problem is really hard. I'm talking about large time granularities too, right? I mean, if you have, even CPU schedulers are, and this is a much more complex problem than a cache, I believe, because let's say your cache perform, it's a feedback. If your cache is slowing down the application could issue IOs slower, right? And then the CPU won't be able to schedule the process, so it cannot utilize the cache for all that time. And so all of these things, I think, are interrelated, which is why you may not end up with the same sort of cache occupancy for the same set of allocation if there is a slight, maybe even a difference in how you start the application, how you start the workflow, when you start the workflow.
You mentioned benchmark cases instead in benchmarks in hypothesis.
I think I should also explain how I am collecting the performance data.
Okay.
So what I'm doing to the file bench to tell to do is that every 1 minute it reports a performance data.
Okay.
A collective performance data every 1 minute.
Okay.
So let's say in a 10 minute run I have 10 of those data.
Mm.
I exclude first five rows because there are variability.
Mm.
So I'm just only taking the last five rows and make an average and take it as our performance.
Because you've seen those numbers to be more stable.
More stable, at least not widely variable.
Mm.
But what you're saying now is that even the last five numbers, although they are stable,
there is 10% at least variability.
Oh, in just those, in the same set of five numbers.
Yes.
So it's not that you ran one iteration, got some number, and then the next iteration with the same resources is different. So you're just talking about the variability of performance within the same run. It's not like two different sets of runs.
Oh no, I think I should explain better. So let's say it is our target game. It has like 10 performance data in a single run.
Yeah.
So I'm pruning the first five rows out.
Yeah.
So at any instant after is the last five rows, and we make an average of all those.
Yeah, I understand that.
Average. So this is our performance data. Let's say this is 17.89 or something like that, ops per second.
And you're basically taking an average there.
Average of all those.
Yeah.
So there are some 18, 17, 16, whatever. So what I'm saying is that there are variabilities in these rows as well.
Mm.
And there are variables like you make and you run this 10 minute again, and you take the last five thing and you make an average. So that might not be 17.9, that might not be 13.69 or something like that. So that I observe.
Okay, so is the variability here different than the variability across this?
Yes, they're very good.
So this one is, there is a lower variance here and there is a higher variance here, or vice versa, what do you mean?
Actually, variance is maybe the same, but because maybe there are some high value number, that makes it the average looks nice, look better. The variability is more or less the same.
Hmm. And this is happening only when allocation is small?
No, this is any case. When allocation is small, let's say one time I get 6.8 or something ops per second out of this five. In next case, I'll get like something like 0.89 ops per second.
Mm.
It's that variable. So
that's a huge difference, like 600% difference.
Yeah. And what is problem is that because I'm taking the collective revenue, so even with the same allocation and everything, my collective revenue, one case I see, oh, there is a good increase. And then say, okay, let me run again if I see the increase.
So this will cause oscillation, right?
Mm, exactly.
Back and forth.
Maybe you should try different benchmarks. Maybe there's something wrong with this benchmark. Maybe there's something that, maybe this benchmark is not supposed to be using this way. That's what I mean. So maybe you can try Rubies, because I know for Rubies you can fix the number of concurrent sessions, and fix this is the user satisfaction. The average response time should be very stable, and you can use that as to verify this.
But when I used it as on my training cases, the variability was not that high actually.
So what's different? What's different now?
What's different? There's a lot of things different, right?
Yeah.
You should be able to tell that immediately.
The difference is that in that case only 2 VMs are running.
Okay.
In this case, 10 VMs.
Okay.
And the two VMs, in the other case, I think the 2 VMs, it's more, the second VM is purely I.O.
Purely I.O.
So it's not using CPU caches or anything.
Okay. Right. So 10 VMs, the old rough average.
Yes.
The same
workload.
The same workload.
Okay. I just changed the revenue curve of the individual VMs.
Okay. Yeah, that would make a difference. I didn't get that.
So I would still say you should try with Rubis and see if there is similar variability in that benchmark.
Yeah.
Because it could be that file bench is a lot more variable because of other factors. I don't know what the factors could be.
Mm-hmm.
The other option, let's say we encounter the same issue with Rubis, would be to say how do we get confidence information? Because it seems like we are stuck with observations that are variable. So even if you want to train the model online, we are still going to see errors.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good way to deal with that is if we can look into confidence measures, and maybe like if the model will give us a prediction and a variance as well, then we could use the worst case performance that the model suggests and use that to compute revenues. You say at least this much revenue would be generated using the allocations, sort of a lower bound on the revenue that is generated, as opposed to an average value. But I also want to hear what Ming and Kaushik think.
I still feel that he should run the whole thing once and see what's the end result. Because my sense is that there will always be some difference between the one is that you are basically doing a local model and then you are trying to apply that at global setting. Really. So it will not be never accurate. And it will be very difficult to do that.
The problem is that like let's say you do the change, any model, let's say the model is accurate and it gives you the beta sense. Next time you run the model and if it's 0.89 ops per second, there's a one VM just can skew all the collective revenue. So you might get there is no change. So in that case my whole process stops in that case.
But maybe we should keep going, like you said, even if there is no change, we should keep running based on the predicted values, because the algorithm runs based on predicted values, right? At least the current version that you're running.
Yeah.
Should still keep going and then look at where it takes us, right? Because it's possible that, in fact, it is possible that the model that we create in isolation is more truly representative of the application behavior than all these variability that we are seeing here. So I agree with Kaushik also that it might make sense to just run through the whole cycle and not stopping when we see no revenue improvement or even revenue degradation of something like 5 or 10%. We should still, you know, as long as the predicted model says that we, you know, the next iteration is going to give us a higher revenue, we should keep going and see where it goes. I think what we want to see is a trend that the predicted revenue shows us and what the observed revenue shows us. If you have a graph and a timeline like that, then it might give you a more global picture of what we are dealing with here. Because right now it seems pretty, dire circumstances, right? Because our predictions are way off than we observed. So where are we going with this? But I agree with Kaushik that it might make sense to still do it. And maybe this will be overcome just because of the fact that we allow for subsequent iterations. And the other thing which I think you are also suggesting is to not allow the lower allocations at all somehow. Maybe
I already made it few low, maybe you have to increase the threshold.
Yeah, maybe you need to increase that threshold a little bit. If you see something like 600% variance, then that's probably means that you should bump it up higher, the minimum values.
Do you see this problem in reverse lesson for virtual machines?
Least number of machines I haven't tried, but I have to, like, I tried only two virtual machines and increased to 10.
10. And how many CPUs are using?
3 to 2s.
The CPU? Yeah, I don't know, the resource pool, how many physical CPUs give the resource pool?
12 cores.
So they give all 12 cores on the node.
Yes.
The 10 version machine.
Right. I think Ming brings up a good point. I mean, the philosophy that you're talking about here is really important, right? Which is that you should be able to try various combinations and try various small changes and see what happens. Because that will inform your knowledge. Rather than going after the, you know, blindly going after the final outcome and just trying to resolve things in that direction. If you try a few things which are very different than where you want to go, you might be able to learn, right? For instance, run the workload with just one other VM or two other VMs or three other VMs and see what happens to this variability. That might give us some sense for where this variability is coming from, right? And whether it is something that can be overcome by a simpler way, right? That, the core mapping, I think these are small things that you can try.
Try teaming too.
The other thing which you want to try is Rubis, right? Try a different workload and see what happens. So you see the similar behavior. Is it a problem with just workload? I mean, I think the general suggestion is you want to try like small tests of theories and understand and learn from them, so that you can apply to your final outcome. And maybe you can even shift the course of where you're going for quicker success. And so I think that sort of versatility is really important, especially for a project of this kind. You want to try many different things. I think that sort of an approach is really critical for any sort of research. Right, you have to be able to try small things, and if you have certain question that's bothering you, just figure out what experiment you would run to try to answer that very quickly, and then learn from it and apply it. So you've got a lot of suggestions today, I think, for you to move forward.
So another thing I tried in terms of the model retraining. So I have some idea like how to do that, but that is more complex. So what I just to do that, it makes sense. So what I did is like, so model retraining, what you're talking about is like when you get a new data, you just put it into the training data set and retrain, right? So I do that, like once I get data, like I put, like once I get a set and I say that, oh, there is a change, and I put it on the training data set and run it again, it's not improving that much actually.
What is not improving? The prediction accuracy?
The prediction accuracy.
So you retain the original one? Original.
I tried both experiments. Pruning the old one, also with just merging, I mean just adding it. It also, it improves a bit, but not too much.
But is there anything different? So when you go to retain, do you intentionally make anything different in the system so that the model would have to be different?
Model would have to be different.
So the reason that the retraining may improve accuracy is because something is different in the system now. Maybe the workload has changed, maybe the contention has changed.
Yeah, the cache contention.
But how do you manipulate the cache contention? That's right.
We are not manipulating it. So we are just, whatever we are observing, we are feeding into the training data set.
I think, I guess it is probably a simple experiment to verify this, so we can create a
a obvious change in the system. For instance, in terms of Druby, I'm most familiar with Druby. You can change from broad mix to big mix. That's a big change. And when reaching the model, then obviously it should help. And that would give you some idea, how this works. Okay. Otherwise, if the change in the system, if the change in the system behavior is minor, then reaching the model obviously will not help much. Right?
No, the behavior is quite different. Quite different, yeah.
So here the behavior is is different because of the variability, right, of the performance. It's not that the workload changed, or it's not that the contention changed, because they are all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still trying to retrain the model because your observations are different than your predictions. Is that your approach?
Yeah.
But that's a little bit weird because...
No, because remember, like the training, the model I have created using a training data set, right?
Okay.
So those training data set have some numbers, right? Some number of allocations.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that training data set under 400 megahertz, 384 megabytes, and certain, let's say, 40 milliseconds latency has a performance of 23 hours per second.
Mm-hmm.
But here, when you run with the combination of all the workloads, you see that using the same, let's say 400, and 40 around, you get something like 17 hours per second.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. But
that's not the model is inaccurate. The modeling accuracy will be always there.
If it's 384 and 400, it's possible that 384 is the working set, and less than that. No, actually, this is the other way around.
This is the other way around.
Okay. So this is really unusual. So this means that there is significant amount of cache contention or some other contention that we have not been able to model that is affecting the performance. Right?
That's correct.
And
that is consistent. That is consistent.
Okay, and that's the reason you want to retrain the model. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I understand. All right. And then when you take out the 384 and put this new guy in.
Yeah, it changed. It improved a little bit. Let's say the prediction improved a little bit, but nowhere close to 17 or something.
Okay.
Because you know why? Because because it's not 400. There are other data like 800. Because it's always a function.
Yeah.
So that function is not sufficiently changed.
Right,
we took just one data point.
Right, because still trying to fitting a curve or some kind or behavior. Okay, so maybe
it dropped. Mm-hmm. I mean, the inaccuracy dropped.
So what I was suggesting then is use the retraining, but go through the entire cycle and keep retraining each time. Because then you might be able to maybe change more of the model. Because you generate more points in more of the space, of the input space. And because as you run your algorithm, you allocate differently, right? You allocate resources differently.
Mm-hmm.
Each time you change the resource allocation, you get a new point.
Yes.
That will affect the
that
model.
That will change the function.
That will change the function more.
Yeah.
And see where that goes.
But immediately, we're not going to see any impact.
We won't see that immediately, which is why maybe, starting with the predicted revenue improvements and or maybe even using the predicted revenue improvements throughout the cycle would help.
But always improve the model. Try to explain that.
Yeah. Exactly. And the predicted is predicted after retraining. It means our model is also changing, our prediction is changing.
I haven't tried that. I keep the retraining. It's a little complicated to implement.
Do you think you can retrain a model in a duration of 10 minutes, your observation duration, or within a small fraction of that duration?
Retrain a model?
Yeah.
By trying all the combinations?
No. I'm saying, so you have a model, right? You have a new set of observations.
Yes.
You have to retrain the model.
Yes.
Because you want to use it before the next 10 minute
expires.
So can you do that? I mean, how does it?
It takes like 15 seconds.
few seconds. I don't know. That's
not just few seconds because it's just one or two data points. So what if even I can see a lot more to see it? What I can try, I haven't tried yet, is instead of using this average and feed into the model, what I can do is take all the five.
All the points and feed that into the model.
Feed that into the model. That's another way to like force the model to take those.
I don't understand. So you're talking about SPA or it's the NN? And you don't use all the history data or just use how do you use the historical data?
I'm sorry?
How do you use the past data?
This is what we are talking about that right now, which is if we retrain, each time we add more data to the model.
But don't you have a bigger data size?
That's why I said I tried both this because I haven't gone through all the number of iterations. So what I tried so far is just keeping the, because my training data set is really perfect. It's like I have only a couple of these points of this range. So I don't have much all those numbers. So it's very perfect data set. So you can also.
In the ANN, there is one thing called sequential training. You may want to look at that a little bit more details. The basic concept is, there is a concept where the concept is basically you give the data in a sequential format and the older data will have less weight in the training than the newer data.
Oh, nice.
That sounds perfect for you. Is it cascade training that's the one?
Pardon?
Is it the cascade training or is purely sequential training is called?
It's called sequential. The terminology you should search for is sequential training. So do a little bit of search on the Google Scholar and the Google. I'm sure you'll find it. Where the basic concept is you give the as you're entering the data one by one. And all the, if you enter the data all parallelly, that basically means all the data points are equal weight on the training.
Yeah.
Whereas if you enter it sequentially, the concept is the older data points will have less weight than the newer data points. And the whole purpose is this was continuously building the end model as the newer data is coming up into the system.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think that.
So this concept is not new. This concept has been used in many different places before also.
I have to just look for the implementation in the software I'm using. So.
Yeah. Just start looking with it, to find it out.
Okay, that's good. So what are the different things we spoke about today? One is the
first. I think I will take Ming's suggestions to try the how much the variability changes if we increase or decrease the number of virtual machines, and also spinning it to particular core.
Yeah. And then check with Rubis.
Check with Rubis, second option, and third option is this one.
And then also go through the entire
cycle. Go through the entire step as Kofi suggested. So we don't stop even we see that there is no change. So we keep continuing, unless until the model is.
Right. And as the approach would be, as long as the predicted model says that there is a revenue increase, or I would say either or. If the predicted guy says revenue has increased or the observed guy says revenue has increased, we should continue, right, with the next iteration.
Okay.
And this sequential thing. Okay, so we have several things to look at next. Alright, anything else? Okay, so if not, I think we are done for today.
Do you have the Ruby's online version? After 1 minute or 2 minutes, it reports data?
Yeah, let's talk to DC.
Yeah.
She has modified Ruby's to report the performance online.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess you said before, she has quite some experience on online model, adaptive modeling. You can chat with her and see what she can.
So she's not in town though, right? I mean,
she's not, yeah.
So how do you contact her?
Email her, study her, or Google chat with her.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I interact with her. Yeah.
Okay.
She's reachable. Yeah.
Okay. Alright. Okay. Sounds good. Alright, Kaushik, I think we are done for today.
Okay, thanks.
We'll meet again same time next week.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
All right. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
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 You want to go for lunch?
Yes.